Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Samar Aleph at the Mishnah on the top of the Amid. Teaches us the Mishnah Nafal Habayis Olav Valeshtai. A home fell on an individual and his wife. And again, as we discussed in our previous shir, we have here a situation where we don't know who perished first. So Yarshe Habal, the people who are his Yarshin, and that means either his father, his brothers, or his sons from a different marriage. Imrim, they say Isha Mesa Rishayna, that the wife passed away first. And therefore, as we've learned so many times, we know the halacha is that a husband is the yorish of his wife. And since the halacha tells us that the husband is the yorish of the wife, so therefore, we, the husband who perished second, vakach me sabal, and only afterwards that the husband passed away. So since when the wife passed away, the husband was still alive. So he is her yoyrish. And since he's her yoyrish, so everything went to him. And then he, unfortunately, passed away. So now we are his yarshim. So since we are his yarshim, we get everything else. That we get the entire Yerusha. V'yarsha Isha, and her relatives, that means her children, her sons from a different marriage, or her brothers, her father, Imrim Baal Meis Rishon, that was the husband who died first, V'akach Meis Isha, and then the wife died. So therefore, those assets that we just discussed, that we suggested, might be going to the husband, and then from the husband going to his yarshim. Actually, the way to look at it, they're saying, is they remained with her, and since they remain with her, so when she dies, they go to us, her yarshim. So, as we know, when we speak about assets that a woman can have, there are three types of assets. There's nechsei tzoyin barzel, which are assets that are written into the ksuba when the couple get married. And the halacha is that they are evaluated at that time, whatever they're worth. And the halacha is that is the amount that she will be entitled to when her husband, that is the amount that she will be entitled to when the marriage ends, no matter what. That's unless she dies before the husband, when the husband is her yoyrish. That those are nechsei tzoyin barzel. Then we have nechsei melug. Nechsei melug are assets that she brings into the marriage, that the assets are hers, but the husband gets to eat the peiros. And then there's the ksuba, which we know that a husband, if a marriage ends and the husband divorces his wife or dies before the wife, then those assets are the husband or his estate has to pay her the ksuba. So when we speak about assets that there's a dispute over, or rather, probably better said, that there's a question about, these are the three assets that the wife could possibly have, and that is a question because we don't know who is the owner who died first. We don't know what to do. So says the Mishnah. Beshame says what we should do in this situation is Yachloiku. The Yarshe Habal and the Yarshe Isha should divide the Nechse Tzoyin Barzel and the Nechse Melug. However, most Rishonim are of the opinion that when we speak about the Ksuba, everybody agrees that the Ksuba doesn't get paid out. Because you only can make a claim on the ksuba when you have a definitive claim to make it. That means if the wife, her yarshim, can make a claim that the husband died or divorced her, therefore it's only nechsei tzoyin barzel, nechsei melug, that Beis Shammai say we should divide. But when you speak about the ksuba, that's not what we're speaking about. Well, Beis Hillel says nechasim becheskasun. The nechasim remain where they are, and here the Mishnah explains ksuba becheskas yerusha abal nechasim hanechnasim vayotzim ima, which means the Nechsim Malug, because as we explained a moment ago, the Nechsim Malug are assets that come and go with her as they were when they were as they were at the moment they got married. So those are considered Nechsim Malug. Becheskes Yarshiav remain in the status of their family. So there's many different approaches in the Rishonim how to understand what this Mishnah means. The Rashbam, the Rashba, and the Ritva learn like we just learned, that there is no question according to Beis Hillel about the Ksuba. There is no question about the Nechsim Malug. What the Gemara is going to discuss now is what is the halacha about the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. And that's the way we learned the Gemara. There are different ways of learning the Mishnah. The Rif quotes of Haigoin that says that the way to understand the Mishnah is when we have assets and we don't know how to treat those assets, we don't know what are those assets. Are they Nechsei Malug, are they Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel? That's what the Mishnah is talking about. He says that the Baal Amor learns that the only asset, as we said a few moments ago, that there is no question about, is the Ksuba. About every other asset, there is a question, where do they belong? But again, we're going to learn the Mishnah as the Rashbam and the Rashba and the Ritva learn that the question that our Mishnah is discussing is about primarily the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. And begins the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Nechasim becheskasim hamandim." But the question is, "Becheskas mi?" As we evaluate assets, we have to know who is the owner of those assets. So, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, "Becheskas Yarshei Baal." That since again, and as we're saying, the Gemara's question is primarily about the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. And the question the Gemara asks is, if Beis Hillel says Nechasim becheskasim, we leave the Nechasim where they were. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yechon says it means becheskes yarshei baal. It stays as if it's in the ownership of the husband. And the reason is because as we explained when we explained what nechsei tzoyim barzel are, that the value of the nechsei tzoyim barzel are put into the ksuba, and since they're put into the and they're evaluated at that time, and whatever they're worth, that's what the wife when the marriage ends will get back. Whether they go up in value, whether they go back to value. So what that means is that the husband has a very high level of responsibility when we speak about the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. Not only does the husband have a very, because he's going to have to pay back that value no matter what. Secondly, because there's a assigned value to the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, the halach is the husband may sell the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. So since he is allowed to sell the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, they're considered like his assets. And since they're considered like his assets, that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mishnah says, Nechasim b'cheskosom, and we speak about the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, Nechasim b'cheskosom means in the control, in the cheska of the husband. Tosfos asks a question. He says, as we've been describing the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel are written into the Ksuba with an assigned value. So if they're written into the Ksuba with an assigned value, shouldn't they have the din of a Ksuba? So if they have the din of the Ksuba, we've been saying that there is no question on the Ksuba that the husband's estate would not have to pay the Ksuba. So why would we have any question here? So Taisu says, the fact that they're written into the Ksuba doesn't necessarily make us treat them equivalently to the Ksuba. Because there's a strong argument that the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, since she brought them from it's not something that the husband is taking out of his pocket. The Ksuba is something that's taken out of the husband's pocket to pay the wife. The Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel began by the wife. And they were written into the Ksuba. And that's why there's an argument to be made that the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, even though they're written into the Ksuba, should not be treated like the Ksuba. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that discusses an interesting question. The Gemara Mesechta Samach Vav says, what would be the halacha if a marriage ends and the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel were never sold by the husband? And the halacha, and the wife says, and that is a dispute between the wife and the husband, the wife and the husband's estate, where the husband's estate wants to give her the value of the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel as he obligated himself. And she wants the actual nechassim. So the Gemara over there quotes a machloikis, who will prevail in that machloikis. So the question is, should that be taken into consideration in making a decision who is the owner of Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel? And it seems that the Rishonim's opinion is that one has nothing to do with the other. As the Gemara over there explained, the reason the woman may have a claim back to the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel is because she has an attachment, because she brought it from her parents' home. But the facts about the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel don't change. Reb Elazar Amar, Becheskes Yorash Isha. Reb Elazar's opinion is that the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel belonged to the wife because she brought those assets into the marriage. The Achronim debate, we know that the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel, if the wife dies first, the husband becomes the owner of Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel, because as we said before, the husband always yashins the wife. So the question is, shouldn't that be taken into consideration, that should prove that it belongs to the husband? So the Rishonim discussed this. The Rishonim and Achronim discussed this halacha, and Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, quoting the Avnei Meluim, that says that the Yerusha of a husband is different than the Yerusha of everyone else, and therefore, because when we speak about the Yerusha of other relatives, they are Yorshim because they're relatives. A husband, as we've discussed earlier in the Masechta, has a special halacha, and therefore that should not be taken into consideration. So again, Rabbi Elazar Omer, the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel b'cheskes Yorshe Isha, Shimon Lakish Mishim Bekapar Amar, that Yachloiku, we don't know how to treat the Nechsei Tzoyim Bazel, and therefore it should be divided. The Kain Tani b'kapara, and so did b'kapara teach in his Seder Mishnayis, and Rashi Masechta Brachos says, we learn Mishnayis, so we learn the Mishnayis that were compiled by Rabbeinu HaKadosh Bei Rav Yehuda. But he wasn't the only one that compiled a series of Mishnayis. There were other Tanoim that also compiled a series of Mishnayis, and Bakapara had that, and said, the Yarshi Abal come with a claim, and Halal Abal and Yirish, and the Yarshi Isha come with a claim, therefore Allah is Yachloiku, we divide it. Says the Mishnah, Nafla Bais Olav, the house fell on Yosef, the son of Yaakov, Valimai on Rachel. And Rachel is a woman who is an Amona, and she from her husband Yaakov, and she has assets. And now what we have here is this mother and son, Yosef and Rachel, perished. And again, we don't know which of those two died first. So the Yarshelim, her brothers, say that the son died first, and then she died. And since when she died, her son was no longer alive, we are the Yarshim of her assets, the Yarshe HaBen. And when we speak about the Yarshe HaBen here, it becomes sensitive. Who are the Yarshe HaBen if he doesn't have children? His paternal brothers. Now, these paternal brothers are not related in any way to Rachel, who passed away. Rachel was a woman that was married to their father, but not their mother. And they say that Rachel died first. After Rachel died, her son Yosef died. And they, the paternal brothers, because Yosef had no children, are his Yarshim. So says the Mishnah, in this case, Eluv Eluv Moedim, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shechloiku, that they should divide, that the Yorshe Em and the Yorshe Ben both have equal points, and since they have equal points, they have equal claims, we divide it. Amar Bekiva, to which Rabbi Kiva says, Moed Ani, I agree to Beis Hillel, Shenachasim B'chaskasim. And the Rishonim are bothered with the word Maidani, that it seems that he's Maida over here to the opinion of Beis Hillel and not anywhere else. The Rashbam says that the word Maidani doesn't mean as it usually means Maida, rather that Ani Maida v'choylikalov, that what Rabbi Kiva means to say is that I learned the opinion of Beis Hillel previously, the Mishnah that we learned at the beginning of our Shir, and I learned that Beis Hillel said at that point that Nechasim B'cheskasam, and my point to say here is that I agree that here too Beis Hillel says not Yachloiku, but here too Beis Hillel is going to say Nechasim B'cheskasam. Rashi has a different approach. Rashi says that in Baba Metzia that Rabbi Kiva was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, but here he's saying that even though I am from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, I'm going to agree with Beis Hillel. And that's a very bechiddush, because throughout Shas, that the halach is that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and we never follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. So how can we end up with a situation paskening like that Rabbi Kiva is going to pasken like Beis Hillel? The Tosfos says that what Rabbi Kiva means to say is that in our previous Mishnah, when Nafal Abayis Olav Val Ishtoi, that everything remains with the Yorsha Baal. And here I'm going to hold that the Yorsha aim in a stronger position. B'zun Nechasim B'cheskasim. Amalei ben Azai. So ben Azai says to Rabbi Kiva, b'ches al chalukin, where we had in the previous Mishnah machloikus Beis Shammai onu mitzdarim, because we never want to see machloikus. So if in that Mishnah we had a machloikus al shabbat, so it is what it is. Now we finally have a Mishnah, says ben Azai, where Rabbi Kiva, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are agreeing, El Shabbos Olach Glenus Hashavim, and now you say that the Machlokes continues. It's not something that we're so happy about, says Ben Azai. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Kiva says, Nechasim B'cheskasim. But what does that mean? B'cheskas me, says Rabbi Elama B'cheskas Yar She'ein. It remains with the Chazakah of the Yar She'ein, because since when the husband has passed away, as we said, that Rachel was an almana, the nechasim have been in her shevet, because that's her shevet. So when we say a woman has something, it does. When we say somebody has something, here it means regarding this woman, it means to say that the shevet that she's in has it. And since the shevet that she's in has it, we don't want to remove it from that shevet. Rabbi Zeirama Becheskas Yarshe Ben. From the moment that this woman passed away, from the moment her husband passed away, from the moment Yaakov passed away, Rachel identified Yarshim are these individuals, are Yosef, and therefore we assume that remains. Says the Gemara, because Solik Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira came from Bavot at Yisrael, come b'shitza derb illa, he changed his mind and agreed that it should be b'nechasim b'cheskas yarshayim. Am Rav Zeira, Shmamina, so Rav Zeira, hearing what happened here, said that what Rav Zeira said, avir da'aretz Yisrael machtim, that once I came to Eretz Yisrael, I became a bigger Talmud Chacham, and therefore I was able to see the light, the Tamamai, and why indeed, why is he so in favor of Yarshe O'aim? Says the Gemara, "Amar Baya Hav Chuchs Kenachlo by Sheshevet." As we explained a moment ago, once the moment she became an almana, it became her shevets, and therefore, since it became this her shevet, that's why we say that it remains hers. So, ask Tosfos, if this is such a strong svara, why don't we use the svara in the previous Mishnah? So Tosfos answers, we can't use that shevet, the chuchsuk shevet can't always be used as an explanation. And the reason that chuchsuk shevet can't always be used as an explanation is because what we said before, when we're speaking about the nechsei tzayim barzel, since the husband has such a strong control over the nechsei tzayim barzel, it makes everything different. Says the Gemara, makes it different than this case. So Ben Azai said, we're not happy about the machloikis. And now you're, and finally they agree. Amar Rav Shmuley, says Shmuley say, Ada Amra, Ada is the name of Tana, said, when you learn our Mishnah, we can learn Ben Azai Talmud Chavad the Reb Kiva. The Ben Azai was not just a Talmud of Reb Kiva, he was a Talmud Chavar. Because the way we see he addressed him, the Kamalei Shabasa. Shabasa is not the way you address your Rebbe. You address your Rebbe in the third person. You would have said, Bar Rabbeinu. The fact that Rav Shmuley spoke, the fact that Ben Azai spoke to Rav Akiva in such a fashion is a proof that Rav Akiva was, the fact that Ben Azai spoke to Rav Akiva in such a fashion is a proof that he was a Talmud Chavar. What is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? So Rashi Masechta Erevin says that to be a Talmud Chavar means that you weren't a Talmud Muvik of this person. But Rashi says if you were a Talmud Muvik of an individual, even though you Baruch Hashem grew and became a very big Talmud Chacham, you can't be considered a Talmud Chavar. A Talmud Chavar is if you are a colleague, you're equivalent to him in learning, and you didn't learn from him as a Talmud Chavar, and you didn't learn from him as a Talmud Muvik. The Gemara here teaches us that Avira the Aramachkin, that Eretz Yisrael is the place of Chochmah, and that's why Reb Zeira had an eye-opening. The Shlo says that that's why Yeshua ben Nun is called Yeshua ben Nun, because we know that Yeshua is the one that brought Klal Yisrael into, is the one that brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and somebody who's Zoicha to come into Eretz Yisrael, so we say about such a person, Ben Nun, that he reached the highest level of Chachma, which we know that there are Nun Sharibina, 50 Sharibina, and that's what he reached. Why, is says the Sfarna, does Eretz Yisrael have the special quality that Avir the Aramachim? So Sfarna explains that since the Mabel didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, when the Mabel came to the world, it brought Gashmius, it brought destruction to the world. A part of what it means when we say it brought destruction to the world, it means that people didn't have the same level of Chachma. The Mashah has a different approach. The Pasuk says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei al har avar mazeh, Reis Eretz Kanan Hashinoysen Na Yisrael Achuza. You look at all of Eretz Kanan and see all of it. So it explains the Mashah that when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at all of Eretz Yisrael, he infused Eretz Yisrael with that level of Chachma. The Imri Emes once went to visit Eretz Yisrael, and when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he said to the Imri Emes, Avir the Aramachim, we just learned in the Gemara. So if Avir the Aramachim, he must have become a much greater Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. And since he became a much greater Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, what did you learn? Please share it with us. So the Amri Emma said, yes, I did become a greater Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. And because I became a greater Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, we know Siyog L'Chachma is Shtika. Therefore, what I'm going to answer you is that I'm not answering you. The question that many ask is that others explain, the Anaf Yosef says that Eretz Yisrael has a wonderful climate. And because it has such a wonderful climate, that's what makes it a land of Avir Da'amachim. Ritva says, because there's so many mitzvahs, Hatluyus Baretz, there's so many mitzvahs that are fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael, that brings the chachma to a person who goes to Eretz Yisrael. But if that's the question, the Marik asks that we know that there's Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, and we always follow Talmud Bavli. But if Avir Da'ara Machim, why don't we follow Talmud Yerushalmi? So the Marik quotes a riff who says that the Talmud Bavli was written after the Talmud Yerushalmi. And what that means is that if the Tanoim and Amoraim of the Talmud Bavli saw the Talmud Yerushalmi, and therefore, if they saw everything in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and then they decided if they should follow it or not. And he says that this is the basis of what we know, Hilchos Sukkah Basroi. Whenever we have a machloikus in Shas, we follow the opinion of the latest psak. Because why? The people who of the later psak saw the earlier psak. And since the people of the later psak saw the earlier psak, that's why, and they were able to review all the opinions. That's why that we should follow that opinion. And but interestingly, the Marik points out that the Rambam does paskin sometimes like the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says that the Rambam, what he does is he saw the interpretation of the Bavli, he saw of a Mishnah, he saw the interpretation of the Yerushalmi of a Mishnah. And he had the privilege of seeing both opinions. And because he saw both opinions, he now chooses which opinion he thought is the better of the two opinions. Here we learned Avir Da'ara Machdim. And the question is that the Gemara Masechta Tainis teaches us Cherv Alabadim, that person is not supposed to learn Torah by himself. And the Gemara says that Metapshim, when somebody learns Torah by himself, it could cause him not to learn Torah, not to learn the Pshat correctly. So the Yavit says that halacha only applies in Chutz Lartz. But once we just learned in our Gemara that Avir Da'ara Machim, included in learning Avir Da'ara Machim, what that means to say is that no matter how you learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to have a tremendous positive influence. And there's a tremendous chiddush from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that when we learn in our Gemara that Avir Da'ara Machim, it's not only stated, says the Chasam Sofer, for Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael, but even Nochrim that live in Eretz Yisrael have that tremendous Avir Da'ara Machim. The Chashuk Yechemet has a discussion, and he says, what's going to be the halacha regarding somebody who comes to Eretz Yisrael to just for a visit? Will we say Avir Da'ara Machim for such an individual as well? So he says, the Pasuk, when it speaks about the Meraglim, says, Vishu ben nun v'kol ben yafunua, minatarim es ha'oretz korud b'gdeyem. And he says that Rav Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Imre Shefer says, why, when the Pasuk is describing these people, does the Torah call them Minotaro Usa'aretz? Why do we need to say that? So he says that when does somebody rip Kriya? When there is no hope. By Avelis, when somebody passes away, which of course we know death is permanent. Yeshua and Kalev felt that there was no hope anymore. There was a gzeira. Moshe and Aaron did not have the same reaction as Yeshua and Kalem. They thought that there was still hope. Who turned out to be right? The one that turned out to be right was Yeshua and Kalev, as we know about the terrible gzeira that happened to Klal Yisrael after the Meraglim, that all of the people from that generation were not given the privilege to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, normally, Moshe and Aaron are the paradigm of Chachma. They're the paradigm of people who represent great Chachma. Yet here we find that Yeshua and Kalev were right versus Moshe and Aaron. Why is that? So the Pasuk itself, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, is asking that question. And the Pasuk is saying, because Yeshua and Kalev had this chus of Menatarim Esaretz. They were people that visited Eretz Yisrael. And we just learned that Eretz Yisrael is a place that Avir the Ara Machkim. And since it's a place that Avir the Ara Machkim, they were right over Moshe and Aaron. Another pshat that I saw that the Lubavitcher Rebbe discusses. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that when we say on Yontif by Musaf, we say Umnei Chataenu Golinu Meratzenu Mnesrachaknu Malamaseinu, and what the Rebbe points out is that part of the tefillah is the part of the tefillah where we are expressing that we can't bring the kabbonis, that we don't have the ability to bring the kabbonis that we brought in the Beis Hamikdash. So shouldn't we be focusing on the Beis Hamikdash? Why are we saying Galinu Miatzeinu Nesrachaknu Mi'almaseinu? Shouldn't we be focusing on the Beis Hamikdash? He says, but once we learned in our Gemara that Avir the Arim Machkim, so what we're pronouncing is that if we would have been in Eretz Yisrael and we would be able to have the positive influence of Eretz Yisrael, that would have prevented us from doing more Averis. The Sefer Magid Dvar Avli Yaakov explains that that's pshat when the Pasuk says, where we say in the Agoda, Ilo Nosulanos Atayra V'loich Nesonu L'Eretz Yisrael Dayenu. What is the connection? What he explains is, as we're learning now, Avir Dara Machkim. So since Avir Dara Machkim, Eretz Yisrael is so necessary for our success in learning Torah. But we announce by the Seder, we declare by the Seder, Ilu Nosulanos Atayra. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us the Torah and not attached to it Eretz Yisrael, and not attached to it Eretz Yisrael, and the schus of Avir Demar the Machkim, we still dayenu. And the Sefer Kaimetz HaMincha explains, now we understand why Avram Avinu was so reluctant to allow Yitzchak to go to leave Eretz Yisrael. Because Yitzchak represents Yerushimayim. And Yerushimayim has to be coupled with Chachma. And since it has to be coupled with Chachma, that's why the Pasuk says, Avir, that's why Avram Avinu instructed Eliezer, Rak Espini Loitash Shama. And the Sefer Zichron Shlomo says, based on this, we can understand the Pasuk says, Omle, the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Dav Ches Omer Aleph says, Omle Rabbi Yochanan, they said to Rabbi Ikasov the Bavel, they're older people in Bavel. Tama va'amar, and he didn't understand how. Don't we say Laman Yibu Yumechem v'mei v'nechem al-dama, only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz? Kim da Amrlei, but once they told him, Mekadmi mechashti l'bei k'nishta, that they come to the Beis Medrash to learn, Hainu da Hanilei. So he says, now I understand. What the question here was, that what's pshat in the Gemara? So says the Sefer Zichron Shlomo, that they said that there are people in Eretz Yisrael who have great in Chutz Laretz who have Chachma, and the question is, how do they achieve Chachma if Avir the Arim Machkim, but they live in Chutz Laretz? To which they answered, Kivin the Mekadmi Mekashmi LeBeit Knishta, that they live their lives in the Beis Knesset and Beis Medrash. The Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash all attain the level of Eretz Yisrael, where in Eretz Yisrael there's Avir Dara Machkim. And since they attained the level of Eretz Yisrael, of Avir Dara Machkim, that's why even though they are personally in Chutz Laretz, they could achieve that level of Chachma, and they could be also Savi. It doesn't mean necessarily in age. It means in Chachma. By connecting ourselves to the Torah, wherever we are, then we are able to attain the Chochmah of Eretz Yisrael, Vavir de Aramachim.